Will you please pray with me? Dear God, the one who is truth, we come to you this day filled with joy, seeking your word and your voice. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable to you, our God, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. So, as I've been saying, today is a fascinating day. It's a day of reflection. It's a day of living into what Paul begins this passage with. Christ has set you free. Don't go back. Don't go back to the bondage. Don't go back to the yoke, to the physical burdens. It's what he says. I do want to name a couple of things. This is the anniversary, this past week was the anniversary of what was known, what became to be known as the Stonewall Riots, or the Stonewall Protests, 50 years ago in New York City, in a time when being gay or being lesbian or even dressing in not the standard gender expectations, you could be arrested. Well, one day some people felt the spirit moving, if you will, and said, no, we will not be arrested. And it ended up creating what many feel is our modern-day conversations, our modern-day movement of sexuality, human sexuality in society, and human sexuality in our church. How does the church respond to such a profound standing up to saying, no, we are of worth, we are of value, and this is who God has made us? And in that spirit, I share this story. There was once a young woman who was as white picket fence and as homegrown American as they come. From a small town, countryside village, if you will, grew up full force. So ingrained in Americana, she would fulfill her destiny becoming senior year homecoming queen. And part of that development was everything you would expect. Apple pie, dad, a very successful member of society, a very important member of society, a mover and shaker, if you will. Mom, the host of many parties, the leader of the church, a leader of the church. Hymns were sung on a regular basis. Hymns were known like the back of hand. Hymns were sung in the shower. I mean, when was the last time you sang I Need You Every Hour in the shower, huh? She lived it fully. She was praying before every meal. And it was one of those beautiful, iconic Norman Rockwell scenes, lives, in which your friends, your neighbors, were also your Sunday school pals. They were one in the same church, and everyday life were seamless. Well, such a life, such a fulfillment from Christian community and the call and the studying of Scripture and prayer often leads to a call to ministry. And so she embraced it. She accepted that call, that powerful call. And she went to seminary, like you're supposed to do. And granted, there was already a hurdle that lives today. Being a woman and being an ordained minister ain't no easy task. I think my life is difficult, trust me. I have colleagues. But she overcame that with support and love. And there were others there. There were others who were pioneers who had led the way. There were pioneers. There were other strong female ordained ministers. And so she overcame that burden. And it was easy, so to say, a path that confirmed her calling, her life filled with the Spirit. And as she continued on this journey, it just was affirmation after affirmation. Pastoral care visits were filled with healing and the revelation of God's presence. Sermons were inspiring and brought forth deep reflection of the Word and new life. Church conversations began to grow. Those who had been around for a long time found a reinvigoration, a renewal of their own calls. New members began to join the church left and right, wanting to participate in the life of the Word, in the ministry of Christ. And she was at the forefront of it all. Till one day, she met somebody. And some feelings, some Shakespearean romance, if you will, began to come to light. But it couldn't be. This couldn't be from God. Could it be from God? Because it was another woman. So they both knew. They knew it wasn't going to happen because, well, the church doesn't let that happen. And if the church doesn't let it happen, well, God wouldn't let it happen. So months went by, year plus went by. Discernment, prayer, reflection, confiding in others for support, for guidance, for wisdom, for insight. And no matter what she did, no matter how faithful she remained, that small, still speaking voice lingered and pushed and pushed. And she did something that Abraham did to start our whole journey of faith. Abraham was the first person in Scripture God intentionally calls. And one of the first things Abraham's asked to do is to go up a mountain with his only child and to sacrifice that child. Thank God, grace kicked in and he didn't have to do it. But from him, from Abraham and from his child Isaac, was born our faith. And she felt a similar call. She was at an intersection between what the church told her she had to do and that small voice inside that refused to go anywhere. And she chose love. She gave it up. She gave up what had given her so much life. She gave up the path God had called her on, the path she had known her whole life, to follow a new path, path of love. No one blamed her. Some people were confused. Some people disagreed and said it was wrong. Still, that's the path she chose, and she gave it up. She gave up her ministry. She gave up the church that had given her so much life and love, the church she had shared so much life and love with. She gave it all up to be in love. And even on that journey, though, see, when you answer God's call, you're not always let off the hook. It doesn't just end there. You don't just move to Arizona and everything becomes peaceful. Or do you? And she still felt a deep yearning. A deep yearning to serve, a deep yearning to lead, a deep yearning to love God and love God's people. And she heard about this radical group, this group of Christians who had a different thinking, who had thought they heard a new word, the word that said that didn't matter who you loved, didn't matter who you found yourself to be called to be. What mattered was that you are a child of God and that you bring forth the truth of God into this world. That's what Paul's talking about today. Paul's talking about that intersection she found herself at, that intersection between what we've always known, the rules, the traditions, the church way, and the way of the Spirit. And it's weird even to begin to think there's a conflict there. How could those be in conflict? Aren't they the same? Well, so the Galatians, the people this letter's written to, they struggled as we struggle. Can you believe it? There's nothing new under the sun. Our problems are the same problems they had 2,000 years ago. Go figure that one out. The Galatians are new to all this. They've never done any of it. And they're looking for guidance. How do they become them? How do they be Christians? And there's a group of people who don't like Paul, people who don't agree with Paul, and Paul doesn't like them, and Paul doesn't agree with them. But a group of people are telling the Galatians they have to follow certain rules. They have to do it the exact same way it's been done for 2,000 years. That's the only way. If they don't follow the rules, if they don't do what the law tells them, if they don't follow it to every last detail, it's no good. Paul says no. You see, that got us into trouble. That became a problem for us, and that's why we needed Christ. We needed Christ to come and show us, no, that's not what we meant. That's not what God meant. What God meant was for you to be free. What God meant was for you to live in the fullness of creativity, in the fullness of new life, in the fullness of you, in the fullness of being in relationship with one another, in the fullness of being in relationship to God. And so Jesus loved us unending. That's what Paul gets to. As Paul says, look, there is a rule. You're right. Rules and traditions are important. They give us identity. They give us guidance. They're our navigators, our boundaries. We need them for identity. And yet, we often find ourselves in conflict with the rules and the traditions, and some small voice, maybe even a loud, powerful voice, that says a new way is possible, that new life is possible. And Paul says, the answer when you're at that intersection is one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all you need. If you follow that, you have fulfilled everything. And that's the freedom of Christ. The freedom of Christ is to be able to be in relationship with one another, to live together, to thrive together. What Paul points out is that intersection we find ourselves isn't really about church and the Spirit in conflict. It's about our own humanity and how we either isolate it or make it one with God. And he points out if we isolate it, we find ourselves destroying ourselves. We find ourselves destroying each other, destroying our community. Paul lists off about 13 different qualities of isolating, of what he calls the flesh, of not living according to Christ's freedom. And it's fascinating. Of those 13, 8 of them are about arguments. They're about gossip. It's about outbursts of anger. It's about that moment where you're like, no, I will no longer listen. It's my way or the highway. It's that moment. Paul says that's a problem. That is Paul's ultimate concern. Paul's ultimate concern is the infighting. Paul's ultimate concern, he says, be careful or you're going to eat each other. Let's not eat each other. How about that? But he says if you follow the Spirit, what you discover, and it's in your bulletin, if you live by the Spirit, you have joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you live by the Spirit, you have love. My colleague I spoke of this morning found the United Church of Christ. And after 10 years of continuing to figure it out, like we all try to figure it out, of trying to reconcile what God is making, what God is doing in this bizarre thing we call life, this wonderful mystery we call life, a vibrant church was born, a vibrant church in the 21st century, a church that went from 10 people in a coffee shop to close to 200 people in its own building. That was the product of following the call. What was left behind, sadly, the community, the church that was left behind was the church that got lost in confusion, got lost in arguments, got lost in outbursts of anger. And so our question is, do we live by the Spirit? Do we live following the ultimate command, love thy neighbor as thyself? Amen.